and nearly ran into Clayton. He's hounded by Caravan with a high hand. He shoots over him, and he scores it! Clayton, a splashdown in close quarters with Caravan. McNeely high right, headed back tap by Richard. Hit ahead Condon to him. It's a stop! A touchdown for the Gators, 64-61.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Lewis up top to Vasor, handed off Love. Love dribbling right, gets around, middle to the rim for the right-hand jam. Caleb Love, the right-hand spike. 77-70 Arizona, 2.5 to go.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Gillespie looking to throw it in. Gets it up top to Queen, dribbling left. Big step down the lane, runner for the win. Big step! Sweet 16.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan. Happy Monday, everybody. Hello.
What is happening?
Good morning. Happy Monday. The weekend was great.
Delightful. End of it not good, but a delightful weekend nonetheless.
End of it not good because of the Mighty Ducks?
Yeah, you know, that always hurts. That hurts when your team goes out, felt like they were going to win, up by 20 in the first half, and then old Jason Swigard decided to jump into the group chat with a nice little reverse jinx just right out of the gate. 4 minutes into the game.
Right. To his credit, it worked.
It did work out. Yeah.
My bracket looks good.
Yeah. Wow. Bastard. Wow. We're going with that, huh? We're stealing that 7-footer from UP. He's coming to Eugene next year.
I mean,
year.
We know that's going to happen.
He's going to be a Duck next year, and I'm going to laugh when he goes to the Sweet 16.
But I think he'd rather his bracket be right than care about where some 7-footer goes.
Oh, I don't know. You think he'd rather be right on his bracket than the Pilots be good at basketball?
I mean,
I don't know about that.
What's the margin of them being good and not good with him?
Think about his mood after a Pilots loss. Yeah. Is it the same today if Arizona loses that game? I don't think so.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
Portland lost to Pepperdine on a Tuesday night, that next Wednesday morning show.
I think they did lose to Pepperdine.
They did.
Yeah, we got Mo Odin there in the first round.
It'll happen from time to time to the best of us.
The best of us.
You know.
Definitely happened.
Definitely. You know. Definitely. Multiple teams have lost to Pepperdine in this building.
I don't know who those other teams were.
Now, I think we should fire Dana Allman, though. I think it's time to move on.
No, good coach would have won that game.
Good coach would have made his free throws. Good coach would have told his team before the game, make your free throws.
Yeah.
And don't turn the ball over.
Good coach wouldn't have drawn a play for TJ Bamba.
No, right now. Yeah, I don't even know if that was the drawn play, but, you know, that was the outcome of the play.
Kind of had a feel of Bamba going, I'm the hero here.
I'm doing this. I got this, guys.
You watch me do this.
It was his Leroy Jenkins moment.
Bill.
Damn it, Leroy. No. Pass the ball. What are you doing? Pass the ball. Don't shoot it. Please don't shoot it.
I want to start the show off with a quick thank you to our great friends at A&A Resort and Casino for putting us up for Fan Madness for 2 days. It was great. It was exceptional service. They were fantastic. We met some listeners out there.
Everybody
looked like they were having a good time. Thanks to George McCoy, Warren Allen, Coors Light, and Video Only as well. It's always a great time having a Fan Madness, and we can't do it without great listeners.
No.
But we also can't do it without great partners. And so that was a lot of fun with Fan Madness. We were only out there the one day, but we went out there Thursday, enjoyed the festivities, and then had a really fun time on Friday. I have realized that I am an Irish goodbye guy.
You're an Irish goodbye guy?
Yeah.
I am too.
I was wondering how many of our coworkers realized that on Friday if they didn't know it already.
Yeah, the Irish goodbye is really the only way to get out of any social situation. It just, you don't need to go around and say goodbye to everybody. I'm going to see them all again. It's not, you know, if it's one thing like I'm moving out of town and I'm never going to see you again, like, hey, by the way, I'm off to Miami now. I'm just going to Irish goodbye I'm going to see them all today. They're all going to be in. I don't need to go around and say goodbye to everybody.
When the group of them got there, we were already there. We were in a booth with Swag, and Swag had done the typical Swag thing of order stuff and then kind of hold the bill up in the air until Boss got there and he said, is this all included?
Who's
in
covering
your
it? People gonna cover this?
Which is
this
on the just primo Swigart
on the Odyssey tab?
No, that is exactly what you
said.
Did.
Do I need to close this tab out?
No.
You knew what you were doing.
You knew what you were doing. It's okay. Boss okayed it. It's okay. You don't have to backpedal on it.
You got the clearance on that one.
You were like, order everything, guys. And the boss, is this included?
18 plates of chicken tendies on their way out. Is this on Odyssey? You guys covering this bad boy?
No, that was Johnny Ludes ordering the apps when everybody sat down.
Cool. You covering this bill? Come on, man.
There was a bucket of beer before we even even had sat down
and
with
that
four
was,
beers.
That
drank.
Was P. Harris,
yeah,
not me.
I'm sure you didn't say, yeah, 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 come on, get another rag, get another rubber band.
You know, it was awesome. We have not been out at Fan Madness in a while, so to be out there, it was really cool, man. Listeners were awesome. I hit a $300 parlay on Friday night, so that was delightful.
Congratulations. Oh,
nice little pay. Now I got to drive back. Is there a way to cash those in online? Do I got to go back to L&A?
I think you got to go back there.
Go back.
So you'll find your way heading north at some point.
Oh, I'll be driving by at some point.
For
yeah.
that, I would just go today after the show.
Just go cash that by way in. I'll go in at some point this week and cash it in. Maybe play some Sweet 16 bets with my winnings.
There you go.
See what the lines and the matchups look like. It was really cool, though. Like, we love getting out and seeing listeners, and it's something that we don't get to do very often in this time slot. It's kind of a... You know, we're in here. It's early in the morning. It's hard to get everything set up at 6 o'clock, you know, 6 a.m. to start the show.
Yeah.
So to be out, see listeners, A&A was awesome. It was a great place to spend the opening rounds of the tournament.
It was great to see some listeners I've seen before. For the first time, we met one of our listeners, Keith, in a garbage truck.
We did.
Whenever you have a nickname or, like, a title of a name, I'm always trying to pick, what is the face look like?
That was not what I was expecting.
What were you expecting?
I don't know. Not that.
Okay.
I was expecting an older guy.
Okay.
I had kind of an older guy with a thick beard kind of in my head. That's what I was picturing.
Super long hair, rock, grunge kind of vibe, but big sports fan.
Okay, wearing like a Korn t-shirt.
I think age was about what I expected.
And that's what you thought he was going to be?
Yeah. Keith was really great. It was nice to meet him
in
person. Looked like he was having a good time. But so we're sitting at the booth. Swag is, you know, started the festivities. And we're having a good time. Then everybody shows up.
All our coworkers took a party bus up on Friday.
So there was an awkward moment. So the wife and I are at the edge of the booth. And then there's maybe a 1 to 2 person gap between me and Swag.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we like to have it spacey in the booth.
You got
to
get you some elbow room.
But everybody shows up. And the wife and I, we didn't scoot over.
No.
And I think everybody was kind of waiting for us to scoot over so we could all sit in.
Why don't you guys squeeze in there a little bit?
But I knew we were leaving within an hour and a half to pick up our kids.
Right, then you don't want to get trapped inside the booth. Now you got to ask everybody to leave.
The wife had a friend show up, so she got out. So that gave me a natural way of, like, getting up to, like, help her find her friend. And when I came back over, I chuckled in my head because Dirt and his wife were sandwiched completely in the middle.
Oh, just in the middle of the booth.
He is stuck.
In the middle of the booth.
Absolutely stuck for at least another hour, minimum. And I'll be out of here without having to worry about, hey, excuse me.
It was delightful, though, because at least then the company card was there and we knew, all right, let's get a couple of more cocktails here. And like
that.
17 plates of appetizers showed up. And I went to town on those.
Seems dangerous.
Cheese curds. Chuck Hall was just pounding cheese curds left and right.
Well, that's up his alley. He's a Midwest boy.
I got a little bit of an issue because there was a plate of chicken tendies on the table. It didn't even make its way into the corner of the booth.
Really?
It just stayed on one end of the table. Mm. And we're looking over there. Chicken tendies are just disappearing left and right. Didn't even get my hands on one. Somehow I ended up with the leftover plate of nachos where there's like 7 nachos left.
Yeah.
And that was the one that ended up in front of me. So that's the only criticism I have of the coworkers. It wasn't a traditional style. This is like a Chinese restaurant. You got to spin it around the weasel. Like, that's, I wanted that with the appetizers. I didn't get my hands on all of them.
What are those called? Those are called a lazy Susan.
Yeah. We needed a lazy Susan at that table to spin. Everybody needed hands access all of the options.
I have a lazy Susan in my fridge. It is clutch.
Lazy Susan in the fridge.
Put a Lazy Susan in the fridge, top shelf, and you put all your milks and your juices on it, and you just spin that bitch, and you don't have to, like, play puzzle pieces.
That's a pretty smart idea. I'm not going to lie.
It was the wife's idea.
Having to take, like, a gallon of milk out.
Yeah.
We have a Brita filter in the fridge, you know, one of those big Britas in the fridge. You got to take that out. Yeah. There's something behind it, and I got to put it on the counter.
And then you got to put it back normal, otherwise they get mad. And
right.
Damn it.
Where the hell's the milk? It's in the back of the fridge now. You got to move everything else out to get it out.
Would you like a fun gambling fact?
Oh, sure.
Here's a fun gambling fact for you. So got out to A&A a little later in the afternoon, like early evening, afternoonish Thursday, right? Had to wait for the kiddos to get home. So we made our way out there. So at that point, I'd say 80% of the games had been played for the day.
Yeah, they're basically all done.
Then we do a room check-in, and then you get all sorted in the room.
It
hey, what's going on in this room? Where's the plug, the lights, all that stuff?
Gotta look for your stuff.
Then we're starving because now it's almost 6 o'clock. So now we're going to go eat dinner. So we go to one of the restaurants at A&A and we go eat. So by the time I'm done with dinner, St. John's and who was it? Who did St. John's play in their first game? I'm blanking.
Somebody.
I'm blanking.
Omaha.
Or no, it was Arkansas, Kansas. Sorry. Arkansas-Kansas has wrapped.
Yes.
There's maybe two games the rest of the night, I think, at this point. Day one, NCAA tournament, straight up, Brandon Sprague, in the first round, total of the 2 days, only missed two games. Only.
It's a pretty good start.
$0 made.
Yeah. Mm.
Because Friday, all the bets I made, I went with spreads, and I did like 4 to 5 team parlays instead of doing, you know,
just
two teamers.
Single bets.
Or straight up money line picks.
I mean, you're going to have a little bit of fun. You're at A&A, you're going to get a parlay cooking up.
I made $22 out of all the gambling I did, I was like 25-2 in round one.
Well done.
I mean, just an all-time awful decision.
I mean, you just could not have picked a worse sequence of events in terms of if you just had the opposites, if you just had the Friday games Thursday.
You just sprinkled, you know,
Thursday games Friday
along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would have been just fine.
Would have been fantastic.
Would have been a nice little weekend. Would have brought some money home from that trip up to the casino.
Yeah, I would have thought so. So when you sent your text of the ticket that you won, I was incredibly jealous because I had a $22 ticket. And I went, well, I'm not posting this in the group chat.
No, I'm not going to send that one in. That's not one you brag about.
Got my pants down and spanked.
I still don't know how Michigan State covered that line against Bryant. They were...
They killed him in the second half.
That was the one, though, with an 18-point spread. I thought, oh, well, this parlay's cooked. There's no chance in hell.
You faded your own pick.
I did. After Nick Costos told us he liked Bryant potentially straight up. And I'm like, I've never even heard of Bryant. Are they related to Kobe? Let's put some money on Bryant. I put $5 on them to win outright because it was like a $50 payout as a big underdog. And then that game was really tight in the first half. And I thought, well, there that goes. They're not going to cover. I had UConn over Oklahoma, Illinois over whoever the hell that they played in the round one. Arizona covered their number.
Yep.
Michigan State came back. Oregon minus -7 was one of the easiest bets
Oregon
of the first round.
Oregon minus -7 was one of the easiest ones.
Won by 59 points, I think, at
what
last
check. What was worse, Liberty's shooting performance or Richie McKay's hair?
Richie McKay's hair.
Wow.
Richie McKay's hair was... Maybe needs its own segment.
May need its own segment.
Look, we're going to talk about them losing and their season's now done, but that we need to carve out 10 minutes to talk about... how Richie McKay's family lets him out of the house.
That was Carlos Boozer meets Bozo the Clown.
Like,
yeah, that's like the stuff he used to tar roofs with.
It's one thing if you're completely bald and that's like you paint on your entire hairline like that.
Yeah, no. But he's just filling in the cracks.
He's just
and the crevices.
Filling in the gaps.
Yes,
like he has actual hair.
Yeah.
And it's kind of long in the places where it exists.
It's rather 70s Phillies outfielder-ish.
And then just...
Paint.
Just
paint.
That is the most obvious.
Which is saying
paint.
Something because his team shot it about as crappy as you could.
Yeah.
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah.
I still think the bigger takeaway was Richie McKay's hair. So I think it was a 5-team parlay. I think that's what I hit on.
I don't think Liberty wants to play Oregon in any sport ever again.
No. Is there any chance we can get them in a baseball regional? Do they have a baseball team? I'd love to. We just, you know.
Play them in a super
just,
regional.
Yes.
At
can
Liberty?
We get Liberty? Then I'll know we're locked to go to Omaha. There's no chance in hell Liberty's going to pull this thing off.
Well, we got a lot to get to today. David Cobb is going to be our ticker guest at 7:30. He is a national college basketball writer, a good friend of the program, so he'll join us at 7:30, give his thoughts on the first round and the Sweet 16 matchups that we have. So he'll join us again at 7:30 for the ticker. It is a loaded show, a lot to get to. Dirt and Sprague, we start it next on The Fan. How would you guys, I'm very curious the answers on this. I asked this to Ortner and my gambling show producer yesterday.
Back to the Futures last night. Yeah. James, you owe me a Coke.
I do owe you a Coke. Sorry about that.
Number one rated show on the BetMGM network.
On Sundays from 5 to 6 p.m., it is the number one rated show on the BetMGM network.
This is what people tell me.
It's a lot of competition on that network.
It is. There's a lot of options, and people go to your show.
How do you guys personally define my bracket is busted? How do you define that?
I would say bracket busted.
What would make you say, my bracket's busted?
A chunk of your Final Four is missing.
What's a chunk? Can you define that?
Two out of four.
Two out of four and your national championship winner.
Yeah.
Two out of the four and the title winner is out. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like that's a fair assessment.
They basically both said... the Final Four is missing one team, and your bracket is busted.
No, I'm not buying it.
No.
I disagreed with that.
It shouldn't be busted if you're only missing one.
I mean, we're down to 16 teams, and you're missing one of their Final Four. That's not a busted bracket.
No.
Unless the one was your national title winner, because then you're limited on what you can do. Yeah, me too. I took St. John's just for fun, you know.
I took Illinois.
Kicks and giggles.
What was I doing?
I don't know.
I don't know.
What were we thinking there?
You know what? You pipe it down.
Yeah, pipe down
Bob.
Over there, UC San Diego Tritons. All right.
You were finding, finding clips of your Arizona takes, getting them ready for the open. Because
5 minutes into the game last night.
But you won, so to your credit.
God, I hope they lose by 800 to Duke. I feel so dirty. I'm gonna be a dirty boy rooting for Duke.
Duke's beating them.
Is that Thursday, Friday? Who the hell knows?
Thursday.
I don't care about the tournament.
East and West regions on Thursday.
I'm watching baseball on Thursday. Screw the tournament. It's done. My team's out. My bracket's busted. I'm out. I'm out on the Fan Madness is over. Opening 2 days are the only 2 days that matter. Now my team's eliminated.
You won your big bet.
College basketball sucks, dude. I'm done. I'm not watching anymore.
But your brackets,
it's baseball season. What golf tournament do we got this weekend? I'll be watching that.
Is it an elevated event?
Could be an elevated event. I don't know.
All right. So we're kind of in simpatico there of together on this show of agreeing what the bracket busted definition is.
Yeah, you've got to be missing. You got to have some serious holes in it.
Can I just tell you guys this? I don't talk about the show very often ever on this show, but very quickly, I basically was like, the tournament's this, the tournament's that. It's a crapshoot. You could watch that sport closely, and somebody who doesn't could beat you in the bracket. And Will goes, I disagree. I've actually watched more college hoops this year writing for BetMGM than
Will.
I ever have. And I'm doing the best I ever have. He then proceeds to rattle off why he picked this team, why he picked that team. And then he finishes, after countering me, by saying, but my mom, who's never watched it, is currently beating me in the pool. So I guess. And I'm like, you just dunked on yourself.
You just made my own argument.
You made my point for me.
After
thank you very much.
Disagreeing with the point, you then proved the point.
I told him that. I'm like, dude, you dunked on me. You didn't need to bring up your mom. You were totally good on that point. Now, I just want to get this out of the way now because I don't know how much complaining we have. It's become a real problem, and I feel like it's really reached its boiling point from these past couple days. The review and timeout stuff needs to be fixed now.
It's unwatchable.
It is an unwatchable product.
Yep. It's horrible.
The fact that coaches and teams that just made baskets are allowed to call timeouts, I don't understand that thinking and logic whatsoever.
You can't advance the ball out of a timeout.
You can't advance the ball.
But you can in women's basketball.
Well, they've got it right. Four quarters in advancing the basketball.
That makes sense.
And we are reviewing every out-of-bounds play now in the final 5 minutes of every game. And I was really glad to hear Stan Van Gundy and Jalen Rose basically call this out and clown them because they're taking, 5 to 7 minute intervals to review these things that are very obvious.
Yeah, as somebody who has complained about how long it takes for the final 3 to 4 minutes of an NBA game quite often over the history of this show, still inexcusable, still takes way too long. Watching the end of that Oregon-Arizona game, and this is just to use one as an example, there's a million of these, just to use that one at the end of the weekend as an example, it was my team. They had a chance to win the game, and I almost just wanted to turn the game off. There were legitimately 5 straight possessions where there was an out-of-bounds ball. I deflected off of somebody. And every time under 2 minutes, everybody does the finger review thing. Up, got to go review it. And we got to go spend the next 2 to 3 minutes reviewing, that fingertip bent this way, so I think the ball went off. And the first two were a little bit gray area. The next three were just, obviously off of either Oregon or Arizona. How are we still in the review process here? How is this taking so long? It makes no sense, and the end of games in college basketball are just almost unwatchable.
The play where Oregon trapped the Arizona guard when they were down 2.
Yeah, in the corner.
And then the ball hit the back of his hand.
He threw the pass and hit the back of his hand.
That took 2-3 minutes to review.
In real time, I said, that's off Arizona.
Yeah.
And then they go to the review, and I'm like, what? And the wife is watching this, and they go to the review, and you see it in slow-mo, and she goes, how'd you know that? And I'm like, because his hand's going the way the ball went.
Right.
I wasn't mad at her. I was more mad that we were reviewing for the 90th time, but I'm just like, you got to fix this right now.
I think they're going to go to the challenge system. I think they will go.
There's too many. So you might be right, but there's a lot of coaches. The pushback on that is reportedly tons of coaches don't want that. They will fight that. They want this to stay the way it is.
Because then you review everything.
Because then you review everything, and they got their chance to get the ball. And so I hope they go to that challenge thing, Swag. But I was reading an article that basically said they might not be able to because there might not be enough coach support for them to do it.
Yeah, I just...
If that's the case, then they need to come up with some sort of centralized, the way the NBA and Major League Baseball kind of have, each conference is going to have to come up with somebody to help. they can already start looking at it before the officials go over there and basically have it like, hey, this some sort of expedited system.
Yeah.
But I mean, that involves money and expense and coordination. And
right.
Yeah, college sports is great at that.
Yeah, the SEC and Big Ten don't have any extra money laying around to hire a replay assistant.
Exactly.
I know. My thing has always been, and this isn't just college hoops, it's a lot of reviews in general. You want the call to be right. You want to make sure it's accurate. Seasons are on the line. Like, I get it. There is a sense of urgency and an importance to get it right. There needs to be a shot clock on them. We have a shot clock on the players. You got 30 seconds to find a way to shoot. Put a clock. The second the headset goes on,
2 minutes.
The second you're looking at the monitor, if you can find evidence in whatever that time period is to overturn the call, I'd even go shorter than that. I'd give you 45 seconds. If you can't find an angle and they're just firing through all the different replays and there's not one that says there's clear evidence to overturn this call, then why are we still looking at it to get it down to the nanosecond of when the ball went out of bounds?
Well, again, it goes to, because at Pilots home games, I sit right next to the replay person. And they would have to have a centralized system in order to do it that quickly. Half the time they spend is like, no, can I get a different angle? And the person, oh, let me see. And that's the part that takes forever. So if there was a centralized, you know, okay, we've got all the shots and somebody's looking at it as the refs are walking over to the monitor and they said, here, we got the angle. Look, we think it's this. You think it's that. That's how you'd have to do it. But part of the reason it takes so long is the person sitting there is, especially at a lot of universities, it's just somebody that's part of the local, you know, stat crew that they're hiring and per game person.
Yeah.
So it's. Yeah.
I'm going fuddy duddy here. Like, just make the call. That's the call.
Just call.
I think the officials
get
need
rid
to.
Of
they need to trust what they see a lot more.
Yeah. In any sport, really, I'm kind of to a point now. And I know that some sports have limited the amount of reviews they can do. But maybe this weekend just rubbed me such a wrong way that I'm like, you know, let's just get rid of reviews in all sports.
Just stop it. Just whatever the call is, the call is.
The human element of sport. There's been times where the human element has helped me as a sports fan.
Yeah, sometimes it hurts you.
And there's times where it hurts me. But I cannot watch sports where I'm every other possession sitting now and watching the same replay for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's half the time doing the same thing on the broadcast. Well, they're really trying to check the clock. Okay, Gene Steratore.
Thanks, Gene. Oh,
thanks.
That's a 14.9, not a 14.2. Thank you for that. I'm glad we got that corrected.
We'll get to the tournament. A lot of buzz from the tournament is that it's been non-buzzy. Yeah, very Swag had a take this morning that I thought was interesting.
Oh, okay.
But I think that was another big takeaway from the first couple days of the tournament of just, my God, man, review city in every single game, it felt like.
It is supposed to be the most intense and exciting moment of the sporting event.
It kills the
energy.
And
it brings it to an absolute halt. Imagine, you know, game five of the divisional series in the National League, and it's the bottom of the ninth inning, and there's a runner on first and second with two outs, and the team's down by one, and we have to go to a two-minute review for every pitch.
Mm.
Oh, was that a strike? I don't know. Was that a strike? Hold on. Let's hold on. Everybody, take a deep breath. Let's go review this pitch for two. Okay, that was a strike. All right, and play. And another pitch. Ooh, let's go review.
Yeah, their challenge system is like almost instantaneous.
Look up at the board.
Boom, there it is. There
it is.
We go.
All right, that was a strike. There you go. It's over. It's not even going to be in the regular season this year, but it'll get there eventually. It goes quick. Like, having it grind to a halt when it's supposed to be the biggest moment of the game, it really sucks. And it honestly saps the excitement of the tournament away, I think, from the outcomes.
Are you missing this in your NCAA tournament? We'll get to that coming up next. One of our listeners asking if the reffing was just bad to the point where slow-mo had to be implemented. And I responded, personally, I think it was just us. We got the slow-motion replays at home every day. And then eventually the noise got loud, and so kind of forces their hand to have to replay more and more and more and more, and here we are now getting upset by it.
Well, a good point from a listener, too, and some of this even benefited Oregon last night. That was the irony of it, but it allows teams essentially 10 timeouts in the final.
Timeout.
Let's go draw up a play.
100%.
And said, hey, you can't advance the ball in college hoops. You got 7 seconds left. You got to figure out how to go coast to coast and score here. It allows you time to draw something up.
Swag said something interesting this morning, Dirt, before you got in, of, are we missing the romance?
Love is not in the air?
He was asking if we missed the romance, because in this NCAA tournament, it's largely been chalk. There's not been a lot of crazy end of game situations. There've been some good games. Obviously, the Maryland Colorado State buzzer beater. That's kind of about it. There's been some tight contests, and one team ends up pulling away at the end. But it's been kind of a meh tournament so far, I think, for most people who are expecting the drama, the buzzer beaters, the stories you're not ready for. This is the first time since 2007 that there's not one team in the Sweet 16 that's an 11 seed or higher. And this one from Optostats, the Sweet 16 exclusively will have teams from major conferences for the first time since the round began in 1975. it's the tournament of the power players this year, more so than we've ever seen and have seen in quite some time. Are we missing the romance of the Cinderella story?
I'm not missing the romance of the Cinderella story. I'm missing good, exciting end-of-game situation basketball. I don't need a lot of 12, 13, 14 seeds to come through. Like, just look at the games yesterday. Go through. I mean, you can do the entire weekend.
Actually, the Florida game was...
I thought Florida-UConn was great.
That was a good game. The final score is also misleading. UConn scored like 6 points in the final 2 seconds, it felt like, to make it a two-point loss.
You didn't think that was a great game?
I'm not saying it wasn't a good game. Okay? Calm down a little bit. Then I get Duke beating Baylor by 30.
Yeah, I went, did my
Then
chores.
I get Alabama smoking St. Mary's by basically 20 points.
Yeah.
Michigan State was in a dogfight in the first half and then smoked New Mexico in the second half. You knew the final 10 games of that, 10 minutes of that game were irrelevant. Kentucky basically won by double digits over Illinois. You want me to continue? Ole Miss smoked Iowa State. That game was never close. You finally get your buzzer beater in Maryland and Colorado State, even though it was a travel. And then Oregon and Arizona was a compelling game. So of the day, you had, what, 8 total games and 2.5 of them were interesting. I mean, it doesn't matter to me if it's a 12 seed over a 2 seed. There were a lot of games this weekend that I found myself not caring. Auburn Creighton early was good, and then Auburn pulled away, and you're like, all right, this thing's over. Gonzaga had a nice comeback to make it a little more compelling against Houston. That game was fun. I'll give you that.
Arkansas St. John's
was decent. Tennessee handled UCLA the entire game. Texas Tech handled Drake the entire game. Yep. BYU-Wisconsin was okay. Purdue killed McNeese. Michigan killed Texas A&M. So if you're looking for a clip of like games that I was enthralled by in the final 5 to 7 minutes, it's on one hand from the entire weekend.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. It doesn't matter to me what seed you are.
So you don't care that we don't have the Cinderella
story? No,
stories.
Ultimately, I think it's great for the long-term excitement of the tournament. I'd rather have Duke play Auburn. I'd rather have Cooper Flagg still be in it than, you know, Drake, and I can't name you a single player on their team.
Arizona-Duke is more exciting than Liberty.
Yes, if Liberty pulls off the upset.
If Liberty gotten hot against Oregon and somehow beat Arizona, we'd rather watch that than Richie McKay's hair against Cooper Flagg.
Yes, we would.
Right?
It's a more entertaining game.
Yeah.
I don't want to extrapolate too far out because nobody knows the direction of college athletics, and it's a, you know, horses out of the barn situation. Who knows how it turns out? I do wonder in years like this, though, if it gives you an indicator of that kind of stuff might just be dead. That the teams of years past that would be together for 3-4 years, nobody transfers, everybody stays, and you get this like, well, there's no blue chip players, but they've been playing together for like 272 career games, and they've been together for 4 years, and they know the system, and the coach has been the same. Like those examples just don't really exist anymore in college basketball. These guys have a good season. They're going and getting a payday at the division, or at the, you know, FBS level, or what, you know, a Power Four level, whatever you want to call it. They're largely leaving their programs behind and going and playing for one of these teams.
Well, I was thinking about this when McNeese got ran out by Purdue. It was just like, how watching them emotional, Will Wade's crying, he's thanking his guys, and I'm like, how many of these dudes are going to be at NC State next year?
70% of them.
Right? And then the other guys are going to probably either stay or they'll hop somewhere else because they'll get another school that throws them some money.
Their team manager guy, who's now getting like six-figure NIL deals with his face on
Aura
socks,
Khan.
He's going to NC State with him.
Yeah. Oh, is he really?
Yes! I thought he was a student manager at McNeese, so he's just going to transfer schools to go do this at NC State?
What? If you're getting NIL, I mean, God bless the kid, I guess. But no, I think that's my other takeaway, too. Maybe you're right, because it was funny watching that Florida-UConn game. And we got some audio from Hurley I want to get to. Man,
he was very happy, as always.
He's so good for the sport. And I know why people hate him, but you need one guy like this.
You need
a guy to hate.
College basketball is more about the coaches than it is the players.
Yes, for the most part, it is. The guy from Florida that was just torching UConn late with the threes, Will Clayton Jr. I had no idea where he came from at all. I thought, probably a 5-star guy. No, he transferred from Iona. I think he was on a Patino team at Iona, and they lost to UConn a couple years ago. And now here he is at Florida, and he's just balling out of his mind. And, like, good for him. He's bringing up his, you know, his name's getting brought up a lot and getting a lot of recognition. But that's where you might be right of how many lower levels players can even have a good season and then not get any kind of offer from somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
very rare.
That's where these Power Four teams, Patino had this earlier this season where he was asked, he basically said, I'm going to lose three guys. And he named the three players. And then he's basically like, we're not recruiting high school. We're portal.
I want to go get guys who know how to play, because who I know I can count on.
They want to win now.
Yeah.
And so I found that a very eye-opening statement to say, because you're either dabbling in the one and done or you're going transfer portal. How many are finding the three-star diamond in the roughs? It's like you need Tad Boyle of Colorado to do it. Right. And then even then, he's losing those guys because they'll jump into the portal and go make more money at a bigger school, yeah, even within their own conference. So, you know, I find all of this so interesting of how this is shaping. I mean, I'm watching Colorado State. That late kid hits that three, and I'm watching these guys play really well and play deserving of winning against Maryland.
That was the best game of the weekend, probably.
And all I'm thinking about at the end is how many of those guys are going to be gone from Colorado State now?
Almost all of them. The ones that aren't graduating are probably going to transfer.
Any player that played well in that game was probably like, well, that guy's good. Let's give him a little, yeah, give him a bit of a bag, and he'll transfer out. And it's just like,
can't blame any of the kids for it. Go capitalize.
I don't blame the kids, but that's kind of where the sport has led me as a viewer, is just I'm now counting how many players on these mid-majors that have good performances are going to get poached and go to bigger schools next year.
I think it's just the trend of the sport and the direction that we're going. And for anybody who wants to have a negative thought about
that. And that's
not
a bad thing for the sport to you? You don't want, Colorado State was very deserving of winning that game, right?
Derrick
Queen hits an amazing shot.
And he traveled.
Fadeaway jumper at the buzzer, whatever. They win. Okay, give me the MF ball.
Yeah.
You don't want a Colorado State in it?
I'm not saying I don't want a Colorado State in it. I don't necessarily need a Cinderella story, though. I don't, because I think we all know there's a limitation ultimately on the Cinderella and how far that they can go. And at some point, the clock's got to hit midnight. Like, Butler's the only one, in my mind, and maybe I'm wrong on this and misremembering, that you can remember that, like, wow, Butler's in the national championship game. Like, we've had teams in the Elite Eight. We've had random runs of the Final Four. But
yeah,
like,
VCU, George Mason getting to the Final Four.
Final Four was a huge deal, and then they lost.
Yep. Florida Atlantic.
Florida Atlantic, yeah.
Dusty May.
You count Florida Atlantic in that. They got to the title.
They got to the
game.
Final Four.
Final Four, yeah. So you've had a lot of them that have gotten there, but I feel like ultimately you know that the clock's going to hit midnight, and then that run's going to be over.
Swag, let's look this up during the break. The top-ranked or viewed Sweet 16 games, I want to see if there's a mid-major in there in the top 10 at all.
Mm.
Because what he is saying, I think a lot of people are with him on that. It is nice to have the random.
You want Sister Jean. You want Loyola Chicago.
How about that story, right? Yeah. Like, even though that team might get killed, you still like the story. I think there are a lot of people that are in that. But what do the numbers say? Do the viewership numbers back it of, okay, of the top 10 most viewed Sweet 16s, maybe in the last, whatever, 30 to 40 years,
right?
How many have a mid-major involved?
Yeah.
And versus Arizona Duke is going to be a game.
It's going to be a massive number, I would imagine.
We have more on the tournament. We'll get to the Ducks. The end of their season was yesterday in a close, tightly contested ball game against Arizona. Could not get a stop against Caleb Love. And why did that guy decide to take that shot and not one of the other two options? We need to talk about that.
Where's Bill Shonley? He was rolling over in his grave watching that game last night.
Well, he absolutely was. Yeah, that was a big key for why they lost. So we'll get to that at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 1080 The Fan. Brutal loss for the Ducks yesterday. We'll get to that at the top of the hour. Falling to Arizona in a Pac-12 rematch. Another reminder of how stupid it is that they're not in a conference together.
Somewhere Bill Walton was smiling. Conference of Champions.
I saw this. They had the most average viewers of the first round in quite some time.
The tournament did on Thursday?
Yeah, so it was lackluster.
First round hole, so Thursday and Friday
first
combined.
First round hole, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cooper Flagg helps that. He's a recognizable name. Hmm. A lot of big-time pro. St. John's.
You don't
think
that's gambling?
Gambling's definitely a big part of it. There's no doubt.
I was wondering how much of it was gambling.
I also think, too, like, I said this earlier in the show, and I firmly believe it, and we'll get to Dan Hurley at some point today, but coaches are the lifeblood of the sport. They in college basketball, I just feel like they always have been, where they're more recognizable. We blame them more for wins. We credit them more for losses, credit them more for wins than we do maybe NBA coaches. Like, I was thinking about the reaction to Oregon losing last night and the anti-Altman sentiment that will, you know, creep its head out from the gutter. And just chuckled of, like, would that ever happen in the NBA? A team loses in the NBA Finals. Imagine people blaming, like, LeBron's coach for the Cavs losing in the Finals. Like, it's his fault. No, we blame the player. It's the star. They're the face of the league more so than the coaches are. And I feel like this year going into the tournament, you had the return of Rick Pitino. Everybody hates Dan Hurley, which is great for college basketball. Tom Izzo's a high seed. Like, there's a lot of recognizable faces and brands that are leading. Mark Few was back again that we've known for a long time. And I feel like it's at a really strong point. That helps, too.
Swag, I can't find, like, top whatever ranked Sweet 16.
The only I don't find Sweet 16 numbers. The only ones I found were national championship numbers. And it goes back. The problem is the ratings go back to it's still the highest rated is still the 79 title game between Bird and Magic,
like,
and there was
channels,
only three channels, so it wasn't all spread out over everywhere.
You know, Dirk gave his thoughts on it. He doesn't need the Cinderella. Why are you asking if we miss romance?
Well, there's nothing, and I think it's just where the game's going. Everybody's getting paid now. It's all above, and the transfer and those sorts of things. They're, you know, I don't know. I just wonder, and maybe it's my generation who grew up with, you know, some bigger Cinder. I mean, Larry Bird in Indiana State was ridiculous getting to the championship game because Indiana State hadn't ever really done anything back in the day.
Well, I think
Villanova, even though they were in the Big East in 1985 when they upset Georgetown, in maybe the most perfect championship game ever played.
Those are very good examples. I don't think I push back is like your generation's not the only generation that got Cinderella stories.
No,
we
I understand
had plenty
that.
Of Cinderella stories growing up. I think it's also like Indiana State made it because they had a guy named Larry Bird. Oh, you mean one of the top 12 players in NBA history?
Oh, no, I understand.
One of the greatest basketball players to ever walk the earth.
I know that was unexpected in the moment, but now looking back, it's like, that makes a lot of sense. The talent pool, the amount of teams that's all grown substantially since the mid-80s and early 80s, late 70s.
That. And it was, I was just posing the question. I'm curious out there. Is it, you know, now that we got all these, and I think the games are going to be great. I think the Sweet 16 games have a chance to be, you know.
Maybe the best we've had in some time.
Some time.
Given the matchups.
But with all of the big brand names up there, is there some allure lost for others not to have one? I don't like it littered with, you know, half the field being upset and whatever, but usually, like you said, we usually have one.
There's usually one every year.
One
we would have had one if a kid from Maryland doesn't hit a bank shot at the buzzer,
or if they call traveling.
You're really in on the track. I guess I got to rewatch the play.
I mean, it was definitely a travel. Without a doubt, a travel.
Did you watch it and think traveling?
I watched it
three.
Anybody. If
I mean, look, it happens a million times in every basketball game.
James Harden step back three is no longer traveling, then that wasn't traveling. So if you are still stuck on the notion that when James Harden does that little jab, traveling,
it's a travel.
And the league is a travesty now that they allow that to happen on a nightly basis,
call travels.
Then he traveled.
Yeah, call travels. I don't understand why basketball officials have such a hard time calling travels. There are so many travels every game. And I'm just Leo DiCaprio pointing at my TV with my beer in my hand. Travel, travel, right there. You missed it. Count those steps with me out loud. 1, 2, 3.
I just was so wrapped up in, is he going to make it?
I mean, it was a hell of a shot.
Two.
It's a great. I mean, that's a travel. You know it's a travel. It's okay. Doesn't have to take away from the shot. It's a great moment. They don't call it in most games, but that's a travel. It's a travel. Easy Gene Steratore.
Take
the official side on. I don't know. When did the gather happen?
Took a clean two steps there and shot his jump shot.
Would there be more outrage if had called traveling and that decided the game?
What do you think here? Is this a travel to you?
It's the gray area, but I will say that now in today's game, both college and pro, is traditionally not called.
It's not called. I'll agree with you on that one. The majority of time in modern basketball, that is not called a travel. That happens 120 times a game.
There's got to be nothing worse, by the way, than what happened to that late kid. He hit that three. Mr. Colorado.
There's your moment.
There's your moment. Here's the mine. Building, the energy, and then that. A debated travel, no travel, jump shot, bank at the buzzer by a true freshman.
Yeah, I'll put out a poll question on this. Do you wish there were more Cinderellas left in the Sweet 16? Because to your point, there's only one double-digit seed, and ironically, the...
And it's John Calipari, John Calipari in Arkansas.
Yeah, it's your only double-digit seed
what
left.
What a Cinderella story that is.
Out of the SEC who, you know, got
an
half of the...
entire team that bought everything.
Exactly.
Half the field in the tournament is from the SEC.
And the Walmart money funding that program.
So it's not quite your normal Cinderella. It's a little bit different. Symbolized my weekend of college basketball. Not only did my team lose, and I know we'll talk about it, but games were kind of dragging on. I thought there were a little bit of duds yesterday in the afternoon. Got done with dinner, and it was, you know, I don't know, 15 minutes to go in the Colorado State Maryland game, and the wife and I were like, "Hey, nice little break. It's a little bit warm. Let's go for a nice walk." And the second I walk in the door, my phone starts vibrating. Hey, finally a buzzer beater. Hey, finally a good game. And I'm like, great. Let's pull. What did I? Oh, cool. So the one great game that came down to the wire the entire weekend.
Why did you decide that game?
Because it was the time. Dinner was done. We're getting ready for bath time.
Bath time. What do you guys take a family bath together?
Family bath time. It was time for a walk.
Available 10, 11, 12. Did that thought roll through your mind?
Oh God. You want a guy traveling, shooting fadeaway jump
shots? You want the traveling guy, huh? You want the guy that's gathering with his three steps.
They're picking 11th right now.
Yeah.
They're a game and a half out of 12.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Right where you want to be?
Wait for them to beat the Cavs tomorrow.
Right where you want to be.
Oh, my God.
And then they go on a lengthy road trip, but with a lot
with
of marginal
teams.
Very winnable.
And a reeling Knicks squad. Oh, I think the Knicks are the best team they play record-wise, and they're a mess.
They can't beat anybody right now.
But they lost the Celtics. They're terrible.
I mean, they are, largely, but, you know, I digress.
Celtics were missing, what, two starters, three starters?
Tatum just looked like somebody that didn't try, but, like, was like, I can beat you guys.
He had a 39-9 game, and he didn't even shoot the ball well.
No.
He was one of seven from three.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. We will kick it off. The Oregon Ducks fall to Arizona. What we make of the endgame stuff there. Make your free throws. Too many reviews. Loaded second hour. We'll talk Ducks against Arizona. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.